Hello, and welcome to Sekahan Global Reactions. Today, starting from South Korea's wild market swings, we look at how a broken ladder made debt-fueled investing look rational. In July 2026, South Korea's main stock index fell 9% in a single day. 2 days later, it rose 6%. The mechanism that forcibly halts trading was triggered for the seventh time that year. This is not simply a story of greedy individuals getting burned. What this video asks is why an entire nation ended up making a single, all-in bet. There are three questions worth asking. First, why did half the market come to rest on just two companies? Second, why did households borrow money to place that bet? Third, why does this not end as individual folly, but become a social problem? Starting from what happened in South Korea, let's take them one at a time. First, what happened on July 13, 2026? South Korea's main index, the KOSPI, plunged. It closed down 8.95% from the previous session. That was the steepest one-day drop since the pandemic. In the afternoon, trading in every listed stock was halted for 20 minutes. This is a circuit breaker, a forced pause when the market moves too fast. It was the seventh time it had triggered in 2026. The chipmaker SK Hynix led the fall. It dropped 15.37%, its steepest decline since listing. The other giant, Samsung Electronics, closed down 10.7%. But 2 days later, on July 15th, the opposite happened. The KOSPI OSPI rebounded 6.24%. This time, a sidecar triggered a break on a surge of buy orders. Behind it was a development in the United States. SK Hynix had listed shares on America's NASDAQ on July 10th. Those U.S.-listed shares, called ADRs, surged in New York. A gap of more than 50% opened up against the Korean-listed shares. The home market shares suddenly looked cheap, and buyers returned. That day, foreign investors net bought $2.34 trillion of stock. That is roughly $1.7 billion. Beneath the swings, something was quietly unfolding. The forced settlement of people who had bought stock with borrowed money. An account that cannot post additional collateral has its shares sold automatically. The brokerage disposes of the holdings, regardless of the owner's wishes. In the first 10 days of July, this forced selling swelled. It reportedly reached 425 billion won in total. In a single day, it hit a record of about 140 billion won. That single day was roughly $100 million. The borrowing itself was also at a record. Margin debt reached the 38 trillion won range in June, roughly $27 billion. So what is debt investing exactly? Let's look at the machinery. In Korea, investing with borrowed money has its own name, BIT2, literally debt investing. The most common form is margin trading. You borrow money from a brokerage and buy stock on top of your own. With $1,000 in hand, you can buy $3,000 of stock. If it rises, your gain is three times what your own money alone would earn. The trouble comes when it falls. The borrowed money does not shrink, no matter how far the stock drops. If your collateral falls below a set line, you are asked to post more. This demand for additional collateral is the margin call. If you cannot pay by the deadline, your shares are sold by force. The other epicenter is the single stock leveraged ETF. It was cleared for sale in Korea only in May 2026, a brand new product. An ETF is normally a bundle of many stocks. Spreading risk through diversification is the whole point. But this product throws that diversification away. It tracks the price of a single company, like Samsung or SK Hynix. And it moves at twice that company's daily swing. Money poured into it. The combined assets of 16 such funds reportedly grew from about $3 billion to about $9 billion in weeks. Add in margin debt and unpaid balances, and the scale grows further. By the Bank of Korea's count, the related money piled up to about 75 trillion, roughly $54 billion. Here is the frightening property of this product. As the heading says, in a whipsaw, only the loss remains. An example, suppose a stock falls 15% on day one. On day two, it rises 13%, appearing to recover. The stock itself goes from 100 to 96.1. The loss is about 4%, nearly recovered. But the 2x ETF goes from 100 to 88.2. The same price moves, yet the loss is about 12%. The stock nearly recovered, but the 2x ETF kept 3x the loss. Why does this happen? This product chases twice the daily move, every single day. Each round trip down and back up quietly eats into it. This is called volatility decay. SK Hynix fell 15.37% on the 13th and rose 8.83% on the 15th. That was exactly this kind of whipsaw. Why did half the market come to rest on just two companies? As the heading says, let's trace how two stocks became half the index. It began in June 2025. A newly elected president made KOSPI 5,000 a campaign pledge. The goal was to lift the index to 5,000. By the end of 2025, the KOSPI closed at 5,809. Up 38% in a year, already past the pledge. In June 2026, it hit a record high above 9,000. At that point, two stocks alone made up 54% of the index. Then, in July, came the 9% down, 6% up whipsaw. Why does the index tilt so heavily toward the two that rose? An index weights each company by its market value. A stock that rises claims an even larger place in the index. The two stocks' share climbed from 42% in April to 54% in 2 months. How did people abroad see it? Let me sort the Reddit reaction. The thread went up on a board for ETF investors. This is the reaction of English-speaking internet users, not Korean public opinion. The tone split between the calm and the wary. The calm side said this. After a 120% gain in a year, a 9% drop. Calling that a disaster is a stretch. The wary side pointed at this. A healthy market does not swing plus 9 and minus 9 every other day. Some noted the rally was propped up by margin buying. And one comment cut to the structure. This market's beta is really just two memory stocks. Meaning the index's movement is decided almost entirely by two companies. The thread was full of striking posts. As the heading says, prophecy and mockery are all mixed together. 1. A month ago, there were reports people were buying on borrowed money. Even the regulars here called it a sign of the top. 2. Officially a bear market, they said. One day later, it's up 18.56% so far. 3. Just bet against a board like this, and you'll win. Prophecy and mockery alike turn out right or wrong by turns. The sheer difficulty of calling the market is itself what makes this thread worth reading. Now we reach the heart of this video. Let's dig in from four angles. First, what work could not reach, the market seemed to reach instead. Behind dead investing lies soaring housing prices and eroding trust in the pension, it is reported. The ladder of working and saving no longer adds up to a life plan. When it feels that way, leverage stops looking like a gamble. It starts to look like the only ladder left going up. The people reported are not gamblers playing with spare cash. They are ordinary savers, chased by the fear of being left behind. A woman who bought a leveraged product on a bank overdraft. An office worker who borrowed to buy stock without telling his wife. Such cases have been reported, but a caveat is needed. Facing the same conditions, the large majority of households do not borrow to buy stock. Structure pushes people hard. Still, the final step remains an individual choice. Second, investing turns into a duty not to fall behind. When the index hits a record, how does someone holding no stock feel? Their account alone seems left behind. Each record high mirrors, daily, the relative poverty of those who hold nothing. Korea has a new word, Byorak Geogi. It is a Korean coinage, meaning, roughly, a lightning beggar. It names someone whose income hasn't changed, but who grew relatively poor as those around them got rich. The Bank of Korea warned, by name, about the latecomers. Those chasing the surge out of FOMO, the fear of missing out. On up days, that fear pulls in new participants. On down days, forced settlement culls those on the way out. Entry and exit both run regardless of one's own read of the market. This is where its character as a social problem lies. Third, the government that primed the pump cannot quietly turn off the tap. The president was elected pledging KOSPI 5000. He has treated the rising market as a mark of his administration's success. And it was the authorities themselves who approved the single-stock leveraged ETFs. The head of the financial watchdog made an unusual self-criticism. He admitted the approval had merely enriched the brokerages. The next day, the KOSPI fell 9.99%, a record drop. Here lies the regulatory dilemma. Merely signaling a tightening sets off preemptive selling. Everyone expects buyers to thin and force settlement to follow. Speak, and the market plunges. Stay silent, and the debt piles higher. A similar shape appeared in China's stock market in 2015. And in Japan's property lending caps of 1990. In mid-July, the government reportedly moved to halt new listings of these products. Yet the authorities have a case of their own, too. Had they restricted this earlier, they would have been accused of overprotecting people from opportunity. Fourth, this is too close to call someone else's fire. Steering household savings into the market is now a policy goal in many countries. The same soaring housing costs and pension anxiety show up across them. Now, most household money abroad goes into diversified index funds. That keeps a real distance from Korea's borrowed bets on two stocks. But even that diversification has a blind spot. Most index funds are weighted by market value. As a handful of giants rise, their share climbs automatically. Think of the S&P 500. A small group of big technology names now drives much of its movement. That is the same root cause as Korea's two-stock concentration, only milder. Owning several funds is not diversification if they hold the same names. The lesson is not that investing itself is dangerous. A nation nurturing a genuinely promising industry is a good thing. A household betting on that same theme many times over is another matter. Index, direct shares, margin, leverage, bets stacked in one direction. That distinction is what the world can carry home from Korea. Let's bring this together. As the heading says, before blaming the casino, look at how the ladder broke. The government paved the road to the market. The financial industry supplied the high multiplier vehicles to travel it fast. And record index highs broadcast every day, the relative poverty of those not riding along. Every participant behaved rationally within their own position. And the sum of those rational choices made the whole system more fragile. This is not a story about one country or one turn of the market cycle. Finally, the question this leaves us: close one leveraged product through regulation, but if the latter stays broken, the same money simply goes looking for the next one. Cooling an overheated market is one task. Reducing the reasons people feel they have no choice but to rush in is another. And that second task is not somebody else's homework. You'll find the fuller analysis and more reactions on our blog, Seikahan, linked in the description. Thanks for watching.